Moncrief on News Talk.
And you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. Our WhatsApp number is 087 1400 106. You can send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. Here, direct from the mean streets of the south side of Dublin, Barbara and Declan are here to solve all your problems. Good afternoon to you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sean. We battled our way through.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
It's great to be here.
Kicked my way through my dubs to get here today.
Anyway, first question is this. I work in a factory with about 20 other people. We all work on the same shift and get on well. However, there's one woman on the floor who can be very past remarkable when it comes to how I look. She will at least once a week make a comment in the kitchen along the lines of, "God, you look tired today," or, "Are you okay? You look wrecked." The thing is, I never am. Also, she says it on days when I'm feeling good. And when I feel I look good, it drives me mad. She is the mammy of the factory, and I know she doesn't mean it in a bad way. However, every time she makes one of these comments, I feel like I look awful. I don't want to be confrontational or argumentative, but I do want her to stop. I don't care how she thinks I look, even if I'm fallen asleep at my seat. She doesn't need to tell me. How's best to go about this? If you knew her personality, you'd understand. She's not a bad person. Just a bit of a dose.
There you are now.
Just a bit of a dose. What's the mammy of the factory? What does that mean? That she is,
she's probably the matriarch.
Or she's older.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? Like that she's older? Or I didn't understand that reference. She's the mammy of the factory.
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I guess she's regarded as the wisest person there. And okay.
Maybe she's onto something.
Maybe she is. Yeah.
I didn't understand that. But The remarks do sound quite passive aggressive, you know,
yeah.
Telling somebody, "God, you look awfully all right," when they clearly think they look. I remember having, it reminded me of a conversation I remember having once when I was a mammy at the school gates picking up the girls, and there was one other mammy there who was always very well turned out and always had her hair all done, always wore full makeup. And some conversation came up some day, and I always looked like I'd been dragged through a bush back ways. But this particular day, I'd made a bit of an effort, I thought, and we were talking about something, and I think I gave her a compliment like, "Mary, God, you look great today, like you always look great." And she goes, "Oh, but I envy you, you look great even on days when you don't wear makeup."
Yeah.
I'm like, "This is makeup?"
Oh. I know. She could have meant like, "I can see you're wearing makeup today."
No, she didn't.
Oh, ouch.
So yeah. I kind of understand how this feels a little bit. But the best way to counter it is with a bit of humour. Like, because your man says she's not a bad person, she's all right, but he's getting upset about this, or she.
Oh, I'm thinking this is a woman.
Or she, not sure. But I mean, I think, you see, I'm not sure. Yeah, well, anyway. I mean, the best way to counter it is with a bit of humour. Like, to respond to comments by saying something like, you know, "Oh, God, you know, Joan, God, I'd hate to think what you'd say to me on a day when I actually was wrecked."
Yeah.
Or, you know, "This is me looking good, you know, so, you know, you wouldn't want to see me when I am actually tired." And just counter it that way. Like, don't take it so seriously. Or say, "Mary, you have to stop worrying about Joan." I called her Joan. "Joan, you have to stop worrying about me.
Okay.
I'm Grant."
Yeah.
That's, you know, just counter it that way and she'll stop. She probably just thinks she's making small talk. It sounds like something that she kind of is automatically almost programmed to chuck out. These
it's to cut other women down.
Yeah.
I know
the person is saying she's not a bad person, just a bit of a... I really think she's not. I think she
you think she's a bad person?
Yes, she can't be unaware of what she's doing.
I think the woman who's speaking and the mammy of the thing is talking about a woman. The person who wrote this letter in is a woman.
Yeah,
is my interpretation.
But yeah, I thought so.
Just because.
Why?
Because.
Just because women are mean to each other.
You said that.
No, because a man would never say to a man, "You look tired."
No, I think she's a woman. The mother in the company is a woman. But I think she's talking to a guy. I think she's talking to a guy.
I don't think so.
Okay, could the writer let us know, are you male or female?
Yeah.
I think it's a guy.
In any case.
Yeah.
In any case. I think you're right. I think there are a number of ways of approaching this, because reality, what's happening here, it doesn't matter what she's saying. This person is making comments about somebody's appearance, and it's kind of, it's unwanted. It's also a bit weird in the workplace as well. So there's a nature of it, of an interaction between the two of them. One of them is calling one the mammy of the place.
I'd have a little bit of an issue with you saying they're making comments about their appearance. Like, it's not like she's saying, I don't like what you're wearing, or your hair is awful, or
that you look wrecked, just, is a comment about your appearance.
That can be an awkward way of genuinely just trying to say, are you all right? Like, you do look a bit tired.
Sure.
It's not really kind of, it's okay. Not in the same.
Yeah, but not if you're saying it on a regular basis.
Every time you see you.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is that, okay, so what's happening here is that the person, and I still do think it's a woman, who's hearing this is reacting to what's been said and taking the content of what's been said and feeling something about it. But then this is where their mistake happens, is that they're not reacting to it in any way. They're not giving feedback to it. Feedback that either acknowledges the way it's not being received well, or answering back and giving information back, oh no, I feel like I look really good, or whatever it is. So the pushback is where this person will get her resolution. Her resolution? No, the letter writer. Because
you're saying the same as me then.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be humour, but I think I would choose humour because that's my personality. But some people don't like any form of confrontation.
Do you think you're humorous?
You're the one laughing, and you're the one laughing, Barbara.
I'm laughing at myself.
Oh, are you?
I'm laughing at myself.
We're all laughing at you, Barbara. So,
well, one text already says, by saying you look tired, that means you look scraggly or not well kept. Come on.
It doesn't necessarily. It could just mean you look tired. It doesn't mean you look as if you've slept under a bush. Like, it just means you look tired.
No, and absolutely. But I mean, if you're saying it on a regular basis, there's something different going on.
But I think she's just, it's one of these automatic small talk things that she does. Maybe she goes around saying it to
the people. Negative thing to come at somebody and saying. And I know that it might be couched in this kind of, you know,
concern.
And the word mammy was used in the letter, so I'm going to use that. That kind of mammying thing, like, oh, you look wrecked. Are you looking after yourself? Okay, that's fine if that's what's the intent, but it still is being read by this person as unwelcome.
Yeah.
Because actually, you're not my mother, and this is a workplace, and actually, more fundamentally, I actually was feeling quite good about myself until you spoke. So the reaction to it is either going to be one of three things. You either confront the thing back and you go, I don't appreciate your comments. They're making me feel bad. Yeah. And, you know, you're actually, it's a bit confrontational and it's argumentative. Or you can take the humorous approach where you go, you know, like you said, oh, sure, you know, I was feeling great until you said that. Or, you want to see me.
I mean, you know, the other thing would be just to say straight up to her, listen, Joan, I'm actually grand. And if there's a day when I'm not grand or I am wrecked, I'll let you know.
Yeah, but that's exactly it. Yeah. So that's shutting it down.
Because I have a feeling that the mammy of the factory or of the company or of the wherever she is, I don't think she really is me. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
I don't think she's really hearing how it's sounding to the person to whom she's saying it.
Okay, but again, we're down to people who speak without thinking and then people who listen with feeling. And you go, which side of the other thing are you on? It doesn't matter because people like that exist in the world. But the people who hear with feeling need to be able to protect themselves from people who speak without thinking. So you go, you have to say something, or you find a way. You could, the most humorous approach, I have a friend who maybe is on the kind of delusional side of things, and every single time anybody says anything to them, regardless of whether it's a positive or a negative, they just say the word thanks. And it's genius.
Yeah.
If you go, oh, you look a bit wrecked today. Thanks.
Yeah.
And then you just move on, because basically what you're saying is, I don't care what you say because I'm in charge of my own perspective.
That's what this person says, that he or she doesn't care what this woman
thinks.
They
do care. That person wrote into us because they care.
Yeah, no, she or he says, I don't care how she, the mammy, thinks I look. Even if I'm falling asleep at my seat, she doesn't need to tell me.
But I
that's
do care that it's being said.
Yeah,
they do care
it's
being said.
Yeah.
Because
you
could see how it would become annoying. But it's all, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much on it, but it sounds almost like this mammy wants there to be something wrong. So then the person who wrote into us goes, yes, I'm wrecked because I'm a heroin addict or something, you know, that so the mammy can fix her problem for her. And the
there's
mammy sees that
as
her role there
to
give people advice. Anyway, lots of texts from people. This is interesting. Somebody's texted in to say what their husband says. My husband says she should start crying. That will stop the comments. Does he not have his own phone? I have
no credit, John. Yeah. No credit.
Mike says, I have women like her and they're a pain in the arse. The guy, she just wants the mammy to stop, regardless of how the mammy means it. She needs to, but just say, stop commenting on how I look. I have found the best reply to unwanted comments is, do you mean to be so rude? As you're letting the person know they're being rude, but have a sympathetic get out excuse that the person didn't mean to be rude, whether true or not. So you see, the thing is, if you go too hard, like hard you could say it. That, then the person goes, oh, there is something
yeah,
wrong,
exactly.
obviously.
And
that's why she looks so wrecked.
But also, you're going to blow it up into a big deal, which yeah. I don't think it is a big deal. Do you know, from the woman who's from, I hate calling her the mammy, but from the mammy, I don't think she's meaning anything other than she's a bit awkward at maybe at making small talk. And this is her standard kind of,
yeah,
what you call it, modus operandi.
Yeah, well, Joe says most people's go-to conversation opener yeah. is the weather. Hers is the tiredness of your face.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. Yeah,
but there's no variation in it. At least the weather, yeah. you can go, oh, it's boiling today. You're just wrecked today. All the yeah. time.
Could be a guy, possibly a good-looking guy. Some women feel they have to put a good-looking man down and comment on how they look, what they're wearing, that they don't like their beard, etc., etc., etc. Look on it as complimentary. It's just an easier way to play the game. I assume that's from a good-looking guy. Catch her on the hop. The minute he sees her, say, God, you look very pale, or you look exhausted, or you look unsteady. Or if she really gets you going, say, you've a face like a pair of tits. Do that for a few days and she'll back off. Yes, that will definitely calm down that situation.
You have a face like a pair of tits.
I don't know. I never
heard that
one before.
I'm trying to visualise that yeah. in my head, what that would mean.
Yeah.
No.
Could the mammy be calling out the writer for not contributing enough to the team?
What?
What's
I said you look tired. Yeah,
that's what that means. You're not pulling your weight because you're, you know, wrecked.
But you look wrecked.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything. It's nothing clever. It's just it's a basic
awkward.
Interaction.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
yeah.
not working.
It's yeah. not working. Well, Lucy says, just tell her, sure, I barely get any sleep with all the writing I'm doing. That's
you see, the thing about it is that when you're in the workplace, you do want to have your boundaries. And okay, making jokes like that, or even being fun with somebody, is the removal of a kind of a boundary. So some people just don't want to even go to that at all. So I think if you want to shut it down, just say thank you and just walk away and just go. And then she'll realize really quickly that the comment didn't last. Because if
I'm
I said to you,
I'm also wondering, does Mammy say this to everybody or just this person? Do you know, does Mammy go around the office saying to other people, you look wrecked? Or is, you know, and is this person a little bit maybe sensitive? I mean, if she doesn't care what Mammy thinks.
But I think even if the person is sensitive, you have the right not to have somebody come into your grill every time you're at work telling you that you look terrible.
Yeah, true.
That's not cool.
Fair. Okay.
A lot of people suggesting. Well, somebody suggests you should go to HR.
Ah, stop. Stop.
Mammy works in HR.
I actually. Mammy's the HR manager.
Mammy is the HR person. That's the thing.
I like Declan's thing. Just keep saying thanks.
Thanks. Because that's kind of like saying, I heard what you're saying. I don't care what you're saying.
And I'm shutting it down.
And if you're confused by my answer, think about what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's it.
But it's also shutting it down. It's not going anywhere.
Thank you. Walk away.
Chris says, if it is a man, he's a very sensitive man and definitely not.
Nothing wrong with that.
Definitely not married.
Oh my God.
By which he's implying that will toughen you up. I'm in a difficult situation with my friend in relation to money. We went to New York for New Year's Eve, and when we arrived at the hotel, the card machine was down, so we had to pay in cash. I told her I'd run to the ATM and she could give me the money when we got back to Ireland. This is one of my best friends. We've done stuff like this for each other in the past, and I didn't think twice about it. When we got back from the trip, she received some bad news in relation to her mum's health and has been preoccupied by that for the last few months. Whenever I'd call her, I'd never mention the money because I knew she had more important things going on. Unfortunately, her mum passed away last week. So again, I was there for her, gave her space and never mentioned the money. However, I'm now at the stage where I need the money back. A few post-Christmas bills have come in and I need the money for essential stuff. It's also been nearly 3 months since I gave her the money. And it was a substantial amount. How do I approach this without coming across as insensitive, but letting her know I need it back ASAP?
I know it would be kind of really annoying for me to go, well, you know, you should have thought about lending money in the first place. So I'm going to do that.
When I do that to my kids, I go, well, you should have thought about that. They go, Mom, that's really helpful.
Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, it's like that, you know. The original kind of
I told you so, yeah.
The first ever, are you old enough to be an adult kind of vibe? Was probably that kind of Shakespeare thing where he goes, you know, there'd be a lender or a borrower and all that. But obviously, people feel those things
so
for a reason.
Yeah,
I know.
So
I'm deep in the
there. We go, Shakespeare. We're only on the second problem.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Anyway, as Polonius did say
never
in Act 1, scene,
yeah. But
the thing about it is, right, okay, so you know that, everybody knows that, but your back history with your good friend is that you've always had a history of paying each other back. That's the reality. Everything else in your problem is rooted in either your own financial emergency or your imagination about your other friend's stress and what they're feeling in terms of their grief. And all that kind of stuff. I think it's a week after her mother dies. I mean, this is probably
time.
When she's at her most sensitive. Yeah. So it's, you know, if you were a bit reticent earlier on, I think then this is not any better a time than before. However, I do think that your friend is hardly going to react in any kind of way to what you're saying. That's not going to be the way that your friend would have acted before if you approach the situation with tact.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's what it's down to. It's about, I mean, like if you've been speaking to your friend regularly and you're checking in on them and then you kind of bring it up as part of a conversation, I mean, that's okay. I can't see, aside from the fact that, you know, you can't account for how people are in any particular moment.
Yeah.
And this is a very difficult emotional time for people. People don't always act rationally when they're grieving. Mm. But that's, again, not about you or what you're saying. That's about something that your friend is going through. I don't know. I feel like what's happening here is that you need to separate out the kind of facts of the scenario and then the kind of, well, she's feeling this and all this kind of stuff. You're adding all of the stuff on top of something that should be just a straightforward kind of.
Yeah, but I think, I suppose, like, he or she is being sensitive to the friend situation.
Sure, yeah.
Which is fair enough. I think it's a pity that he or she let it go
so
for
far.
3 months, do you know? It's a pity that
the mother
didn't
was
broach
sick.
It.
Yeah,
because I have a feeling, as you say, like, if this is the kind of relation, you know, if it is a very close friend and you've lent money to each other before, you've no reason to think that she's suddenly not going to give it back.
No.
I think what's very likely is she arrived back from New Year's Eve or whatever it was in
straight
New
into,
York, straight into this maelstrom
of
like
yeah.
her mom being unwell and everything else. And I would say she's very likely just forgotten about it, completely forgotten about it. And I can't see how her paying back the money is going to be any more difficult now than it would have been on the day after you loaned it to her. Do you know? I mean, it only takes 2 minutes to pay somebody back to revenue.
Sure, assuming that she has the money, of course.
Yeah, but I'm assuming she has.
Well, she, unless she had to pay for the funeral.
Yeah,
in which case,
but there'll be money coming down the tracks.
Stop.
No, sorry.
Well, no, if the father's still alive, you know.
Maybe,
yeah.
But anyway.
So go with her to the reading of the will and then say, now you can pay me back. That's great news.
Oh my God.
But what I am saying is, okay, so my advice is, it's like, to be as unhelpful as Declan was in the like, it's a pity you didn't do this earlier.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, leave it another week. Yeah, you know, if you need to borrow money off somebody in order to pay your bills, if you somebody in your family or something, literally, and then go to her in about a week and just say, and acknowledge the fact, look, I know you have an awful lot going on. I know you've had an awful lot going on for the last few weeks. I know this has probably completely slipped your mind. But would you be able to transfer me that money back because I need it? That's all you have to do.
And just be really careful because, I mean, I'm not saying scared careful, but just be, you know, tactful about it, because people are very sensitive.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And
acknowledge the fact
time
that you know that she's grieving and she's been through, and you know, it probably slipped her mind, and you've no issue with any of that, but it's just that you need it now. And if she could see her way, that would be fantastic. That's all.
Because there's no logical reason why this friend would think that, you know, this.
I've got a free pass.
Not at all.
Doesn't seem to me any reason.
But then again, let's assume that first time a parent has died, so you don't know how they're going to react to that, and some people's grieving process is different to others. It can take some people a hell of a lot longer to readjust to,
but you know,
normal
when you,
life again.
And you know when you're in the middle of that, like a parent is sick and there's, you know, perhaps that they're terminally ill, and then you have the death, all the normality of your life disappears. All the normal routines disappear. The normal things that you do disappear. So, you know, I would be fairly certain that she has literally just completely, I would say she thinks that weekend in New York was 4 years ago, you know, because she's been through so much since she came back. So I would say she's just completely forgotten about it. And I would say that once you broach it, as you said, tactfully and acknowledging, you know, the fact that the friend has been through a lot, I don't think there'd be any issue. I'd say you'll get it back immediately.
But should she ask, like, now or leave another couple of weeks?
I'd try and leave another week if you can, at least.
Seems a bit like...
The immediate aftermath is... Oh, and actually, the week after a funeral, I always find, is nearly harder when everybody goes back to normal and you're still there in your life.
See, and then
never going to be the same.
That's the bit I was worried about.
After the month's mind, maybe.
Maybe after the month's mind. That's a good one, Sean. Yeah. After the month's mind.
If the borrower listens to News Talk, she knows now, said Mick. Maybe, yeah. Someone says, I loaned my best friend 2,000 euro for a family funeral. I was really stuck about 4 years later and asked her for it. She gave me 500. I've never seen the rest. The odd time she will make notions of asking me for my bank account, but never never send me the money. If you've been there for their friend during this terrible period and your friend throws a wobbly, make new friends. Anne-Marie says, just ask for it back. Nicely, of course, but life unfortunately doesn't stop when there's a death. She will have been paying her own bills, etc., while all this has been going on, and will have completely forgotten the money owed simply due to the circumstances.
I agree with that.
Olive says, you can't possibly approach her so soon after the bereavement. And someone else says, when you loan money to friends, be prepared to lose it. Eaten bread is soon forgotten. Still, they won't ask you again. So you'll save money in the future.
That's awful.
Is that Shakespeare as well?
I think it is.
It has the bang of Shakespeare.
Is so what she said. Eating bread is soon swallowed.
John says, it's as simple as this. The friendship is now over.
No, John.
She has gone on national radio looking for the money back instead of asking in private. They're fighting on the phone now as we speak. Case over. Ask her to give us an update from her hospital bed next week, says John.
Oh, God.
Save us tonight.
Wow, it's like an episode of First Lady.
God, it is.
Yeah, Jesus.
My new boyfriend and I have been sleeping with each other for just over 3 months now. We get on great and the relationship is developing beautifully. However, there's one simple thing that bothers me endlessly. He refuses to shave his pubic hair. I always make an effort, but he seems to be stuck in a bygone era where grooming is purely women's business. Whenever I mention it, he laughs it off, ha ha ha, and says it's only women who do this and that real men present as nature intended. But every hanky-panky session for me is like an unwelcome adventure into the Amazon rainforest. I find it off-putting and uncomfortable. How do I get him to move with the times? Is this a thing?
You know, I'm glad you said that, because there's so many times doing this show that I kind of go, thanks be to God, I'm 62.
Yeah.
Because I this kind of stuns me. I mean, I didn't know that men were expected to shave their bits. Like in my day as a woman, we just kind of straightened the borders a little bit.
Yeah.
I gave it a general trim.
Yeah.
You know, so that when you put on a swimsuit, you didn't look like an explosion in a mattress factory. But, but like men in my experiences, okay, they might have done a little bit of a trim, you know, so that
if
your fingers wouldn't get stuck. But no, like, is this something more? Like, I never heard of a man shaving his bits, like, unless
you've never heard
of hospital. No.
Okay, well, the first thing I'll say is that
here comes Barbara's going to be educated now.
Well, yeah. Thanks.
Carry on.
If you allow me to, I will.
Passive aggressive much?
Okay. No, that was just conversational.
Just aggressive.
Like, it's a preference. It's not a requirement.
It's a what?
It's a preference, not a requirement.
But it's a prevalence.
So this answers the one's problem is that she's writing in as if her partner, regardless of their gender, is not doing what they want, as if that is some kind of a denial of a, you know, a contractual obligation. But in fact, all it really is that in her head, she's going, I would prefer this to be the way it is. And the way you get that done is by asking, and she's asked already, and it's been a no. And as we've often talked about things, that if that's the scenario, well, then it's kind of been answered already.
Okay, that's great. But I'm just curious now. Like,
some people,
what she's
like,
talking about, is it like a major, like a, you know...
Did anyone under the age of 30 now are all like...
Well, no, because actually the opposite, I think,
that's
is
what
that,
I wanted to
is
know.
That, is that there's a, the opposite is happening as far as what I'm reading is that a lot of people are very body positive and they're kind of all about growing hair on their body. But the kind of Brazilian vibe, the kind of manscaped thing, these things go to through trends of that kind of stuff.
So it was a trend that men would get most
of their... But also some people prefer that, just in the way that...
No, I'm just trying to establish what the protocol is or was. So are you saying that the protocol was that men would have... I don't know the difference between a Brazilian and a Californian or whatever the else there was.
It's, yeah.
But are you saying that men were doing that as well? Because I was aware
grooming,
the women were doing
it. It's just about... It's
grooming.
About
grooming. Grooming is getting your hair cut.
Yeah.
Like
somebody's texted in.
Shaving.
It's 2024. Tell that man to mow his lawn, for God's sake.
Well, see, some people do prefer that, and that's their attitude. Their attitude is that it's more is hygienic,
okay, I'm still. But like, are you talking about mowing the lawn completely bald, or are you talking about just giving it
tidying
a trim,
and giving it, doing a bit of topiary?
Right.
Topiary.
And is there, like, do men do...
No, I don't know.
Do they carve their initials in it? Is that...
They put an X. they put an X to guide the runway.
Whatever. But some men get it all off. What do you do that I don't know?
Like, do they? Are you looking at me like I've met every...
You're the youngest
like I've seen
in
them
the
all.
Studio. You're the youngest person. That's the only reason. Yeah. He doesn't seem to be any more clued in than
no,
I am.
No, not at all.
Which makes me feel better.
Yeah. No, but it's like...
You're out there, you know.
You see the ads on the television where they're selling...
We're the mattress factory generation.
No, but grooming is a thing. There's like, they sell products and shavers and all that kind of stuff. And you know, there's a sort of an equality around it that, you know...
But shaving would get very itchy, would it not?
Well, that's
there.
If you'd shave all the way to the root. But, you know, using clippers and a groomer. Look at your face.
What's a clipper?
I suppose one of those, like an electric razor you might use for...
Have you ever been in the boots? Have you ever been in a chemist? You see what... your mind will be blown.
And I assume they'd have to moisturise after all this because it'd be, you know...
Itchy.
Yeah.
And
sometimes you can actually do it in the shower as well. People actually do it. I'm not an expert on this, but some people actually do it in the shower using kind of wet tools, and sometimes you don't actually shave. It's like when you have a beard.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you want to trim it down, you're not actually shaving right down to your skin. Yeah. You're just kind of clippering back to... And it's less irritating when you do that kind of way. And, you know, when people do all kinds of things.
Somebody says, I used to shave my bits as it feels amazing. But porn stars and swingers do that. I'm neither. So I've been watering and applying lawn feed to get it to grow back ASAP.
Oh, God.
Barbara, on behalf of men in their 20s, it's very common for us to both trim and shave it all off.
Thank you.
Look
Thank
at
you
Instagram.
For that.
No man has hair on his body.
I haven't seen too many men's bits on Instagram. Yeah, I don't want to either.
It's the gym culture, but it's kind of... I don't entirely agree with that because it depends. Different guys
You're
have
an
different.
Old guy. This guy's 20. What would you know?
Yeah.
You said that already.
Okay, so what are we going to say? I mean, I'm
going to refer you to my short, pithy statement, which was, it's a preference, not a requirement, and your preference has been declined by your sexual partner.
Yeah.
Ergo, your problem is your problem. To decide. Dump them is the short term.
Dump them. There you go.
Yeah. Dump them. That's very, very succinct advice. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, God, my mind is blown.
Yeah.
Is it really, Barbara?
It is blown. I never thought, like...
But it's like...
It's just so much work.
Like, I knew hairy chests weren't in anymore, and I love hairy chests.
Because
I
it's
really
a preference, not
chests.
A requirement, though. Like, so if you're... I mean, like...
Yeah, but hairy... Yeah, but this, I know it's not a requirement and all that about your feckin' stuff, but, like... When you're young, you tend to go with what the status quo is or what is expected of you when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
And I know hairy chest kind of went out the window.
Because Tom Selleck is no longer on the television.
Burt Reynolds is near death.
Yeah.
I never fancied either of them.
Right.
But I loved a hairy chest. You know when you'd see little bits of hair sticking out the top of a fella's shirt?
Yeah.
I always liked that. I didn't like hairy backs.
Yeah.
Look at you now.
Hairy arses.
Never met one of those.
Oh, I once said, never mind.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.